Yeah, you can make some noise for that. Welcome to Kiss Cam Sunday. Oh, man, I am so excited. Just look around. Just take a look around. Look at how many beautiful faces here are today. If you're a kid here from Kids Camp, can you just make some noise right quick? Kids Camp kids, make some noise. Yeah, all over the room. As you can tell, we invited our elementary kids, our Kids Camp kids, to join us this morning. So we're going to have some fun today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to have fun. We're also going to learn. So turn to your other neighbor and say, you're going to learn today. You're going to learn today. My name's Quinn. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the children's and youth pastor here, and I'm so excited. I'm so blessed to be here with you this morning. It's Kids Camp Sunday. In just a little bit, we're going to have our family barbecue. You're all invited. Who's excited for that? Yeah. Oh, I'm going to eat so many cheeseburgers. It's going to be awesome. Hey, you just watched our highlight video. I got a few more highlights, a few more stats and pictures I'll share with you. Here's some pictures. And this was our Muckwar Day. This is Jeannie. Can you go back to that? I want to brag on Jeannie for a minute. Jeannie, are you in here? Are you in a room somewhere? She's over there. Jeannie, can you guys give it up for Jeannie? She's awesome. She won the points, the award for the messiest leader, because we just threw so much junk at her on Muckwar Day. But also, what's so cool about Jeannie is her husband's a commander in the Navy, and she's got 3 kids, and 2 of them are teenagers. Pray for her. And she got up at 4 o'clock every day to go. She's a personal trainer to go lead a class at 5 at her gym to be here, and then she showed up all day, every day, and hung out with the kids. And so, Jeannie, you're awesome. Just wanted to brag on you a little bit. We can keep going, take out some more pictures. There's some of the arts and crafts. We talked about the Holy Spirit one day, and we painted doves. And there's some more arts and crafts. Kid had lots of fun painting rocks. There's some dodgeball. We played dodgeball. And now this picture. And so what we did is we had a competition. We had the green team versus the orange team versus the yellow team. And the dark blue team, this team right here, my wife's team, they actually won the competition. So we told them, whoever wins, we're going to take to the drive-in. We had a family fun night at the drive-in. And we're going to buy you guys a snack and a drink. I asked the kids, I said, and you guys want real food? No, we want Skittles and slushies. And so that's what they got. They all got candy and slushies. And we had around 70 kids show up to the drive-in for family fun night. You can cheer for that. And that's just kids. So there was a lot of people that gave us our own section. It was a lot of fun. I was playing football out in front of the screen. It was awesome. And now let's check out this next. I got 2 more pictures. And then I got 1 more picture after this. And so what we did on day 3, I'm going to give you some stats in a minute, is we preached the gospel. And 89 kids raised their hands to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We had them all go into the lobby in the foyer, and that's a picture of them getting their Fresh Start pamphlets, and we're praying for them and tell them, hey, you need to find a church. We need to get a Bible. This is my 3rd kids camp. Pastor Michael's been doing it for a long time. Can we just honor Pastor Michael really quick and Pastor Rashawn? Pastor Sean was here helping with the greeters. We thank you for your heart. Pastor Michael was here a couple nights past midnight working on the Wi-Fi, working on the network, trying to make your check-in run smoothly for you guys. So we thank you, Pastor. We appreciate you. We're going to honor my beautiful wife, Selena, for serving. She's like, what? You're honoring me? Yeah, I'm going to honor you for serving, for being an awesome encourager, for letting me work late this last week, and I appreciate you. We got to give it up for our kids' camp director. In just a second, don't cheer yet. I'm like the face of the children's ministry. I come up with crazy ideas, and I get to come up here and share with you guys, which is awesome. I love that, but I'm not a very detail-oriented person, so we have to have a detail-oriented person. So our children's director, Kendra, she actually made all this happen, and so she's going to stand up, and we're going to get loud and crazy and honor Kendra for an awesome kids' camp. Can we do that? Can you stand up? These are for you. Because we love you. We appreciate you. And there's a Starbucks gift card on there. Read what it says.
You did it.
You did it. Yeah. We made it. We're still alive. No one died at kids camp. We made it. Yes. We did find some yellow jackets, but nobody, yeah, we're good. Nobody died. Hey, let me give you some stats. So this is my 3rd kids camp. This is by far my favorite kids camp. It's been our largest kids camp ever at Life Church. We got to bless around 180 kids in our community. Around 180. Our largest day was 155, and our smallest day was 149. 149 on our small day. That's amazing. That's amazing. And every year we do an outreach at Kids Camp. The last couple years we've been doing a canned food drive. This year we prayed about it and decided to partner with our church and what we're already doing. And we're doing this this bottle baby drive for a pregnancy care clinic. And so we told the kids on Tuesday, we said, here's what we want you to do. We're going to give you a baby bottle and we're going to help. We didn't really give them a huge explanation. We said, we're just going to help moms and babies in the area. Who loves moms? Yeah! And who loves babies? Ah! I think they were just screaming because I told them to scream, right? I don't know if they knew why they were screaming, but they're saying, yeah, moms and babies are awesome! I got one of those! And so we told them, take these bottles home, fill them up as a competition. Whoever comes back with the baby bottle filled is going to win an arcade game. And we made it a competition, and we as a church, now, let me remind you, 2.5 days. I told them on Tuesday. They had Wednesday and Thursday to fill these up. They brought these Friday morning. And in 2.5 days, Kids Camp, we raised over $1,500 for the pregnancy care clinic. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? Oh, man. That's so amazing. Man, I'm so excited for today. You're going to hear lots of stories today. And here's what we're going to do. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. We're going to take this time, the next few minutes, and I'm going to recap Kids Camp. We're going to talk about day one and day two and day three, day four. We might play a little game. We'll listen to some songs. We'll have some fun. But whether you are part of Kids Camp or not, my hope and prayer is that you tune in this morning because the Bible is going to speak for itself, and God wants to speak this morning, and he wants to do something in your life. Amen. So whether you're 10 or you're 110, God wants to speak to you this morning. He wants to do something, and he'll use you. He'll speak to you if you let him. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right into it. Jesus, God, I thank you so much for everything you did this week. I thank you for everything you're doing today. I pray for everyone in this room, young and old, that you bless us, that you speak to us, that you help us to get connected to you, to stay connected to you, and help us to take this message out into our city, out into our community, into our streets. I pray that you would help us to be more like you, God. I pray that you would use the words and actions that are coming out of my mouth, that they would be your words and actions, God, and I pray that you would just bless this time. I pray for all those kids who gave their lives to you, that they would get connected in a church and they would get connected to you. We love you, God. We thank you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to start with day one. Say day one. It was our obstacle course day. It was our field day. The sun was shining. It was beautiful. We actually had so many kids that we had to start service about a half hour late, which was great because we had so many people show up. And day one, the point of day one was God wants you to know him. And so where we started was the beginning with Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God created the... Do you know it? Now, you're going to have to participate today. I'm a children's pastor. I've been participating with people all week, so you're going to have to participate with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What else did he create? Shout at him. He created the ocean, the birds, the stars. Kids, yell at me, kids. People, yes, God created the first person. His name was Adam, and he said, it's not good for man to live alone, so I'm going to take a rib, I'm going to make a helper, a lady for him, and he created her, and Adam woke up, he rubbed his eyes, he looked her up and down and said, whoa, man. And that's where women came from. Oh, whoa, man. That was a good one. And so God created them in the Garden of Eden. He said, you can enjoy all the animals, you can enjoy all the trees, you can enjoy all the fruit. But don't eat from anything in this particular tree, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from that tree. And of course, they disobeyed God. You know, we have a choice to make. We can choose to obey God and live our best life, or we can choose to disobey God. And so they disobeyed God, and they ate the fruit, and God found them, and the fall of man happened. And that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for us to trust him, for us to obey him, for us to do life his way. And so eventually this guy came along, as we're going to pick up today in Genesis chapter 12, named Abraham. Everyone say Abraham. And kids, do you remember what we learned about Abraham? He was what? He was old. He was old. Say he old. Abraham and his wife were around 100 years old, but he had relationship with God. He knew God. They were friends. They talked to each other. And our first scripture today in Genesis chapter 12, it says this. God's talking to Abraham, and he says, Go from your country, your people, and your father's family. Go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. All the nations on earth will be blessed because of you. And it might have been hard, but Abraham listened. God said to him multiple times, he said, what? He said, go. Maybe you're in this room and God's telling you to go. Maybe it was go to church and you're here. And that's awesome. That's an can be an easy thing to do. To wake. It can be a little hard sometimes, especially after kids camp week. I wanted to call Pastor Josh. Pastor Josh, you want to do this message for me? I'm just kidding. I didn't. I was excited. But sometimes it's an easy go. Go to church. Go talk to that person and be friendly. Sometimes it's a hard go. Sometimes it's get in your car and move to Texas. And you're like, wait a minute, God. I can move down the street, but I don't want to move to Texas. I ain't about going to another country. Like, sometimes it's an easy go, and sometimes it's a hard go. But does anyone feel like that? Anybody in the room? You're talking to God, and you say, God, speak to me. I'm ready. I can hear from you. I'm going to do it. And he says, go. And you're like, ooh, I don't know if I can do that. That's a big ask. God, someone in the room needs to go. God's telling you to go somewhere. Maybe God's saying, stay. God's telling you to do something and it's hard and you don't want to hear it. This is for someone. But someone, God's saying, go. Go and do this thing. Go and leave that harmful relationship. Go and reconnect with your parents or reconnect with your kids. God's saying, go. And it's your call. You can trust and obey him. And so Abraham, he was old and he knew God. They had relations, but it wasn't always easy to do what God was saying. God said, you're going to have lots of kids. And he said, well, wait a minute, we're old. We're like real old. We're like older than anybody in this room old. And we're going to have kids. And God said this. In Genesis 15:5, he says, Abraham, look up at the sky. Count the stars if you can. That's how many children will be born into your family. And Abraham did some things he shouldn't have done. There was times he didn't trust God. There was times he may have walked away from God and walked into other things that he thought were better for his life. And he made it hard for himself. But eventually, he trusted God. And eventually, him and his wife had a son. And do you remember the son's name? Abraham had Isaac. Everyone say Isaac. And that's the point of day one, is God wants you to know him. Say that with me. Say, God wants you to know him. God wants you to know him. How do we do that? Well, this is a great way. Coming to church. And more than just going to church, being a part of a church. Are you serving? Are you tithing? And you don't do that for me. You don't do that for anyone else. You do that for yourself, for your own personal relationship with God. It's so important that you're serving, that you're giving, that you're tithing, that you're in a life group. Are you connected? If you're not serving, please let me urge you to serve. If you're not in a life group, let me urge you to find one. Are you connected to a church? Do you pray? Do you talk to God? Abraham had relationship with God. He talked to God. We talked about worship. We told the kids worship's one way you can get connected with God, one way you can know him. And then on day two, everyone say day two. It was our water day. We had the pool. We had the slip and slide. We had the water guns out. I told the Aiden, the kid in the video that I threw into the pool, I took his phone, and he thought I took it because he was on it or something, but I took it because I knew I was about to throw him in the pool. It was awesome. It was awesome. And so I got you, Mom. I didn't get his phone wet. But day two, before we continue, we're talking about a king today. Everyone say a king. We're going to play a little game. And so we're going to get my music going. My assistant's going to come up here and help me. And here's what I want to know. If you're a parent in the room, we're going to let the parents play a game. If you're a parent in the room whose kid went to kids camp, raise your hand. Now, out of those people, anybody want to play a game and win a Starbucks gift card? Anybody want to? All right, Jamie, you can play. And then over here. You want to play? Come on up. Yeah, and bring a kid to be your scorekeeper. You guys, bring a kid to be your scorekeeper. Bring a kid. Come on. You guys can come up this way. Grab your assistant and come on up. Come on up. Come on up. And you're going to go see my friend over there. He's going to hook you up. Now, you were at kids camp, so you probably know what we're playing right now. Do you know? Were you there that day? Okay, she doesn't know. Well, you're going to learn today. Here's what we're going to do. We're talking about a king, and so we're going to play Crown the King. Everyone say Crown the King. You're going to get a crown, and you're going to get a pool noodle. Oh, she's got the bun to help her. That might help you. I don't know. That might be cheating a little bit. Let's see if we can get that off her head still. You can't touch it, Mom. You can't touch it. Okay, it's good. You're good. You can still get it off your head. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to play Crown the King. You're going to put it in your left hand. We made some extra rules so that the kids don't hurt each other because we don't want none of this. We don't want none of that. No, don't kick each other. You're going to put it in your left hand. You're going to put the right hand behind your back, and you're just going to stab the crown. So you're trying to stab her crown. She's trying to stab your crown. You can block. You can stab. You can't do any of this, okay? You want to try? You want to hit mom? Okay, don't hit mom. Okay, here we go. So you put in your left hand, right hand behind your back. You put the crown on your head. We're going to play first the 3 points. You say 3 points?
Yes, 3 points.
3 points. So you're going to be her scorekeeper. You're going to be her scorekeeper. We got something for everybody, but only the winner gets Starbucks. So this just got serious, mom. This just got real. Moms need their Starbucks in the morning. All right, first person to knock the crown off the other person's head gets a point. Are you ready? She's ready. Are you guys ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Oh, okay. We're going to reset. We're going to reset. We're going to reset. Try it again, mom. Try it again. Try it again. So you got to balance your head a little bit. You got to, you know. There you go. All right. On your mark. Get set. Go. Get her. Get her. Get her. Oh, we got a point over here. We got a point over here for this side. Hold that one nice and high, Aiden. Nice and high. All right, 1 point. We're playing. First one to 3 points. First one to 3 points. Get your crown set. Get your crown set. Ready, go. Don't hit the host. Don't hit the preacher. Get her, get her, get her. Oh, she got her. 1 point over here. It's tied. 1-1. 1-1. 1-1. Here we go. First to three. First to three. Are you ready? Oh, she's got a little bounce going. All right, don't hurt nobody. All right, what? Ow. Okay, ready, go. Oh, we're going to count that. We're going to count that point over here. So you got to try and balance your head. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. 1 point. One more and they win. One more. Try and balance. Ready, set, go. Come on. I'm rooting for you. You can't touch it with your other hand. Behind your back. Behind your back. We got a winner. Hey, you guys don't give my high five. You can keep the crown if you want. You guys don't go away empty handed. There's a kids camp pack for you. And then for you guys, I got the bag. And a Starbucks gift card. Don't forget about that. And it said you did it. You did it. Mom, give it up for him. You guys did a great job. You did it. You made it. Cool. You can just throw them. Yeah, just whack them with your kid and throw them on the ground. Yeah, there you go. Just put it. Yeah, you can keep it. All right. Day two. Say day two. We're talking about a king, King Josiah. And here's what the Bible says about King Josiah in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. It says Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Can you imagine an 8-year-old king? I had an 8-year-old come up here and help me tell this story at kids' camp. And I asked him, I said, what rule would you make if you were king? He said, pizza every day for every meal. We'd all be a little chubby if we had an 8-year-old king. And then I said, later in the story, I told him to, I had some cookie towers and some cracker towers, and I told him to just stomp on them, but he's 8 years old, so he like kind of heard me, and he soccer kicked them. So there's cookies over there, and there's cookies over there, and there's a food fight, and there's crumbs everywhere. It was awesome. But that's why we don't have 8-year-old kings. But Josiah was 8 years old, and then look at this next verse. It said Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Very interesting to have an 8-year-old king who follows God. Must have had some godly parents, right? Well, I did some research, and according to the Hebrew Bible, went back and found out that his father wasn't godly, and then his grandfather, Manasseh, turned away from God, but his great-grandfather, Hezekiah, was a godly man. Grandparents in the room, let me encourage you. If you're praying for your kids and they're not going to church, keep praying for them. If you're praying for your grandkids and they're not following Jesus and maybe they're not returning your phone calls, keep praying for them. It's going to work. It works. Prayer works. Amen. Keep encouraging your kids. It doesn't say if Josiah knew his grandfather or not, but at some point, Josiah heard something from someone that made him want to follow God. And so this 8-year-old king starts following God. And check out what it says here in 2 Kings 23. It says, there was no king, say no king. There was no king like Josiah before him or after him. None of them turned to the Lord like he did. He obeyed the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength. He did everything the law of Moses required. And so no king like him. He started out as 8 years old. One of the great things Josiah did was him and his assistant Hilkiah, they were praying, and Hilkiah comes back from the temple and he says, Josiah, I found this scroll. And he opens the scroll, and the scroll was the first 5 books of the Bible. And so Josiah says, read it to me, and they start reading it, and they find out that you can know God, but not always obey everything he's telling you to do. And so, Christians in the room, if you're not reading your Bible, then how do you know what God's asking you to do? How do you know the plans God has for you? How do you know the promises God has for you? How do you know what he wants for you more than a t-shirt, more than the bumper sticker? I encourage all the Christians in the room to read our Bible and find out what God has for us. And so they started reading the Bible, and Josiah got so frustrated, he tore his clothes, and what happened was he realized that all the idols that his dad and his grandfather set up, that were worshiping other gods, were in the Bible that you shouldn't do that. They were against what God wanted him to do. And so he went around and he started knocking over things and he started destroying idols. And that's where I had the kid. I told him to step on the cookies, but instead he kicked them and it was crazy and amazing. And he started destroying things. And it brings up this question that God put on my heart. It says, what are you destroying to be more like Jesus? Christians in the room, what are you destroying to be more like Jesus? Is it a harmful relationship? Is it teenagers? Maybe it's Fortnite. Maybe they're not bad things, but they're things keeping us from reading our Bible. They're things keeping us from spending time with Jesus. What are you getting rid of? What are you destroying in your life to be more like Jesus? No one's going to force you to do that, but if that's the goal, if that's what you want, if that's the end, what are you destroying? What are you getting rid of? What are you building in your life? And the bottom line that day, you can know God through his word. Say it with me. You can know God through his word. We talked about prayer. We talked about worship. We talked about serving. We talked about reading the Bible, how important the Bible is. If you want to be like Jesus, you need to get in your Bible, and you need to know what it's asking us to do. And so day three, we had our scavenger hunt and muck war, and it was messy and awesome. We showed the picture of Jeannie earlier with mashed potatoes all over, and Selena had some gooey stuff on her. I didn't want to hug her. I'm just kidding. I still hug you, baby. And so day three, scavenger hunt muck war, we had this little interaction where I brought in my controller and I used the controller to switch the slides, and we're talking about video games. It's power up. Everyone say power up. We're going to use this controller to help tell his story. And so slide number one, there's this guy named John. And here's what we know. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River. Let's go to the next slide. Here's what we know about John is he ate what? Bugs and honey. That's gross. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's gross. John ate bugs and honey. And so let's go to the next slide. And he kind of looked goofy. He kind of looked a little dirty. And he was like a Christian hippie from back in the day. He probably didn't shower. And so I said to my wife, I said, I want to be like John the Baptist. Can I just not shower and not wear clean clothes? She said, take a shower, put on some clean drawers, Pastor Quinn. And so I did. I listened to her. I smell good today. But I wanted to be like John the Baptist. I'm just saying. She wouldn't let me. Okay. So here's what we know about John the Baptist. Elizabeth and her cousin Mary, their kids, John the Baptist and Jesus, they were second cousins. And so John, let's go to the next slide. John's in the river baptizing people, and along comes Jesus, and John doesn't feel worthy. And he says, Jesus says, I need you to baptize me. And John, no. Kind of sounds familiar, right? Kind of like Abraham a little bit. And I know it's weird. Just trust me, John. Just trust me. This is what you need to do. You're Jesus. You're the Son of God. You're the Savior. John knew this. Not everybody knew this yet. I'm not going to baptize you. Jesus said, no, you need to baptize me. This is important. And then we go to the next slide. And so Jesus was baptized. The heavens opened up. The Spirit of God descended like a dove. And it says this in Matthew 3:17. It says, God spoke and he said, this is my Son and I love him. I am very pleased with him. When you obey God, he loves you no matter what. But when you obey God, he's very pleased with you. This is my Son. I love him. I am very pleased with him. And the bottom line of that day was God sent Jesus to save us. Say that with me. 1, 2, 3.
God sent
Jesus to save us. Are you following Jesus? We'll come back to that. But are you reading your Bible? Are you talking to him? Do you have a relationship with him? And then are you really following him? Are you doing what he said to do? Are you living how he lived? Are you telling people about Jesus? That's what Jesus did. Are you loving others when it's hard to love other people? Are you forgiving Christians in the room who want to be more like Jesus? Are you following him? Pastor Michael said it early. He asked a guy to give everything and come and follow me. The guy wasn't willing to do it. Are you following Jesus? And then day four. Day four was our video game day. We made some real-life video games outside. We played Donkey Kong on the ramp over there, and we had some FIFA soccer, and we played Pac-Man Tag, and we had an actual video game room in the dome. It was awesome. And it was the day we talked about the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, Jesus dies on the cross. We'll talk about that in a little bit. He comes back to life. He rises from the grave. And then for 40 days, he hangs out with his buddies. And he appeared to them in Luke 24. He says this, "Why are you troubled? Why do you have doubts in your mind? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It's really me. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have a body or bones, but you can see that I do." And so Jesus hangs out with his friends for 40 days, and he's about to ascend to heaven. Before he does, he says, "I need you to do this. I need you to, can I get my next verse?" He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait," everyone say wait, "wait for the gift my Father promised. You have heard me talk about it. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then he says this in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power." Say power. You will receive power. It's what we've been talking about all week. Power up. "When the Holy Spirit comes on you, then you will tell people about me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria. And you even tell other people about me from one end of the earth to the other." So he says, wait. Sometimes it's go, the command of God. Sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's stay. They didn't want to wait. They were killing Christians in that area. They just killed Jesus. He's like, "I don't want to wait here. I want to go. I want to flee. I want to get as far away from this thing as possible." Wait. Be patient. My two-year-old says, "Ancient." Be ancient. Be ancient. And so Jesus ascends to heaven. Some angels show up and they say, "Why do you stand here looking at the sky? Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, but he will come back in the same way you saw him go." And so they had a choice to make. They decided to follow Jesus. Can I get a musician up here? They decided to follow Jesus. They decided to stay. They decided to wait. And then Pentecost happened. So the disciples are hanging out in the room, and I know I'm just going to touch on the Holy Spirit really quickly for time's sake. Pastor Josh is going to be up here in a few months, and he's going to really share on the Holy Spirit this summer. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited for that. If you want to know about the Holy Spirit, ask Pastor Josh. He'll tell you. He'll tell you. And so they're hanging out in a room, they're waiting, they're being patient, and all of a sudden, a wind comes in. And all of a sudden, flaming tongues of fire, the Bible calls it, and they start speaking in other languages. And there was actually some guys from other countries who were in the town, and they were speaking so loud, these guys heard. And they're like, "Wait, I think that's my language, I think that's Asian, or I think that's Arabic." And then they followed it to the room, and then they started hearing their own languages. And then the Spirit of God just welled up inside of Peter, and he just started preaching. And it says this in Acts 2, "All of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus." The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, came and it just prompted Peter to start speaking. And he says, "Then your sins will be forgiven. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. It is also for those who are far away." Well, we describe the Holy Spirit to the kids as God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the part of God that lives inside of us. When you meet Jesus, you say, "God, help me. Send your Spirit to come and guide me, to come and help me make wise decisions, to come and help me be bold to tell other people about you, to help me preach in front of a room of very distinguished people." And then the Bible goes on to say that around 3,000 people gave their life to Christ that day. Peter was bold. He did what God was asking him to do. He did what the Spirit of God prompted him to do. And 3,000 people met Jesus. That's our bottom line, is God sent his Spirit to help you. Are you allowing God's Spirit to help you? Are you allowing Jesus to move in your life? There's bigger things for you. If you're not telling people about Jesus, if you're not reading your Bible, if you don't have a relationship with God, you can. It's not too late for you. There's more God has for you. There's more he wants for you. There's more he wants to do with your life. He said, "Choose me. I'm not going to force you to follow me. I want you to choose me." They had to choose to stay and wait. God sent his Spirit to help you. And then on day 5, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul was writing to the church in Galatia. They were arguing about what the new Christians, the Gentiles, shouldn't do versus what the Jews do. And Paul says this, he says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. Do you want these things in your life? You can have them. They're obtainable. We need to follow God. We need to get in his word. We need to do what he says. And you can have these things. Let's go through them really quick. Let's start at the beginning. Love. How are you loving God and how are you loving other people? Now, none of this is to shame you or to condemn you, but the hope is to prompt you to want to be like this, to want to read, to want to pray, to want to serve, to want to tithe, so that you can have love in your life. You can love those who it's hard to love. And the next one, you can have joy in your life. Even when you travel from the East Coast to the West Coast and all your furniture gets broken and it's a month late, and I know from experience you can still have joy in that situation and say God is good. Not that you have to be happy all the time, but you have joy, real joy, that nothing's going to bring you down. Next one, peace. Do you have peace in your life? Do you have patience in your life? Do you have kindness? How do you treat other people? Are you nice? Are you patient? Do you have goodness? Do you have faithfulness? How about gentleness and self-control? You can have these things. It's possible, but only through Christ who gives you strength. You have to trust God to have these things, to really have these things. You can love people. You can have joy. You can have peace, but you need to trust God. And our bottom line, we can help. This is day five. You guys didn't hear this at Kids Camp. This is a special treat for everyone who's here this morning because we didn't have a day five. Bottom line is we can help others know God. That's the point. That's why we're here. I believe that's why God didn't create us in heaven. He created us here on earth so we can choose him and we can choose to do what he says. We can choose to follow him. We can choose to either stay or go and tell other people about me. And then we go back to day three. We go back to the cross. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God gave Jesus as a gift to you and me, and Jesus was beaten. He was beaten so much that you couldn't tell what he looked like anymore. You couldn't tell who he was. And they sentenced him to death, and they hung Jesus on a cross. And they murdered him. They killed Jesus. And you might be thinking, why? Couldn't God have gotten out of that? Jesus? Yes, absolutely. But he chose to because the Bible says there's supposed to be punishment for sin. And Jesus loved us so much. God loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to take that punishment. He who knew no sin became sin. Jesus took the punishment for you and me on the cross so we didn't have to. He died on that cross completely. Before he died, he looked out and he said, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. And he says that 2,000 years later. He says, I forgive you, for you didn't know what you were doing. I live for you. I died for you. Come and live for me. You don't have to. I'm not going to force you, but I want you to. And if you do, you can have spiritual fruit. Jesus died on that cross, but that's not the end of the story. Oh, no, the story continues. And the best part is that 3 days happened. And 3 days later, he beat sin, he beat death, he beat hell. He rose from the grave. He was dead, and now he's alive. He ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God, and he's the reason you're here today. Come and follow me, he said. Your choice. But if you do, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you life to the fullness. I'm going to give you joy. I'm going to give you faithfulness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, church.